Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Oh, hi, it's me, Lily Alexandra, and I am here with the legendary Gabby Ortiz. You may know her from Stardom, Ring of Honor, Chikara, AEW, ECW, The Monster Factory, or just the internet. Hello, how are you?
Hi, good, how are you?
I'm good. I'm stoked to talk to you. Thanks for making some time. I know we're both on the East Coast, so it makes things a little bit easier. I guess let's start things off with Mania Week and Weekend. How did you like WrestleMania? What did you get up to?
I actually like really enjoyed WrestleMania. I thought it was a lot of fun, and I haven't really I haven't liked WrestleMania in a while. Like the last couple of years, I haven't either I just didn't watch or I just was not a super huge fan of it. So I really enjoyed it this year. Both nights were really fun. And I was home. I was up here in the East Coast. I didn't go to Dallas. I stayed here. I had a match in Queens and just hung out with my boyfriend and watched WrestleMania. It was nice.
That's dope. That's low key. You don't always need to do some huge, crazy blowout for Mania, especially if you're not super, super, super huge fan. We did the same thing over here. And the past week, I think you kind of relate. You've just been watching every single person I know go to Dallas and or get stuck in airports or God knows what. What is your training schedule like these days?
Training later tonight. I usually train for wrestling Tuesdays and Thursdays. And the other days I just go to the gym and do my own kind of thing. But yeah, Tuesdays and Thursdays I'm at the Monster Factory training from 8 p.m. to sometimes 10:30, 11.
Damn. And for people who might not know a little bit about Monster Factory and your experience there, can you kind of break it down a little bit?
Yeah, so Monster Factory is a professional wrestling school in South Jersey, one of the first in the country. And it's owned by a gentleman named Danny Cage, who was a wrestler. He had a back injury and had to leave the business as a wrestler, but didn't want to leave the business, so he became a coach and an owner of the Monster Factory. It's a great place. We have a lot of great guest trainers coming in and out, a lot of amazing talents coming in and out of there. Ian Riccaboni of Ring of Honor commentary fame, Damian Priest, Matt Riddle, QT Marshall, and the recently signed Sloan Jacobs, aka the Notorious Mimi, Sammy Fernandez, who's a ref down at NXT. A lot of people.
That's really cool. I just interviewed Valentina Rossi, and she's at Flatbacks from Jersey. I don't know if you guys have crossed paths, but it just seems like the East Coast has a lot going on for the indie circuit. So that's awesome for people who might want to get into it. And something totally not wrestling related, I kind of wanted to kind of catch you a little off guard. I know that you're a huge Bob's Burgers fan.
Yeah. I have a little Bob's Burgers poster. It's hard to see.
It's a little hard to see, but now that you see it, I can kind of tell that their body shape, it's the gang. Who do you relate to most? And would you ever try and maybe like be Tina for a match, or like bring some kind of Bob's Burgers component to your wrestling, or like nerdy shit that you're into?
Actually, I already have. Louise inspired gear. It was pink and green. I came out with ears. So Louise is the person. I'll send you a picture.
Yeah, I absolutely need to see that.
Yeah, Louise is my girl, 100%.
Yeah, I can relate to that a lot. I mean, Tina also is amazing, and I'm Jewish, so having a Jewish mom, like, it just kind of really reminds me of Tina a lot. What other like nerdy stuff are you into like right now that kind of relates back to your wrestling or just in general?
I mean, I did one match. It was a Baby Yoda on a pole match.
Wow.
All of my guys right here.
That's kind of creepy, but I also love it.
Right above my bed. They protect me. But yeah, I'm a huge Star Wars guy. Harry Potter, but you know.
we all have our things. You can't really see what's going on behind me, but I have tons of horror crap. I have tons of crap everywhere.
Yeah, I love stuffed animals too. I'm such a kid. Like I just watched Big Mouth for like the 18th time. I love cartoons. See?
Yeah.
Not like it. It's so cute.
See, back to wrestling, I guess. I have done a little bit of.
You have to meet Trixie.
Oh my gosh, is that an axolotl or what are you saying?
Yeah.
That's amazing. I want one of those. You're gonna need to send me a link for one of those too.
Yeah, for sure. She's named after Trixie Mattel, the drag queen.
Oh my goodness, I'm into drag too. Okay, we need to go get a drink one day in the East Coast.
Yeah, absolutely.
So was wrestling kind of an accident or a purposeful career choice? Because I know that I've heard that you kind of got into it through a coworker, but maybe I'm wrong.
So yes and no. I was just from, I guess, when I was a really little kid to probably when I went into middle school, I watched a lot of wrestling, and then I fell out of it in middle school when I discovered Fall Out Boy and just really got into like music and that stuff. And then I stopped watching, and then when I left high school, so I guess like 18 to about 20, I got back into it, and I thought, I was like, how do people become wrestlers? Like, this is such a weird, I never thought of it. So I looked into it, and I found out about the Monster Factory, Chikara, and those are the two schools that were close by. And then I mentioned to a coworker that I was like, oh yeah, I think I'm gonna go to professional wrestling school. And he was like, I went to professional wrestling school. I was like, well, where'd you go? He's like, I went to the Monster Factory. I was like, oh, that's one of those. I saw about that on Google. And he was like, yeah, you should go. And then it was at a haunted house, so our season was over in November. And then I just kind of weighed my options, saved up some money working at a nightclub, and then I went and I put down my down payment for tuition, and then never looked back.
That's amazing.
I didn't anticipate getting to this level, though. I really didn't.
I don't think anyone ever does, and I think that's kind of the best way to kind of go into it. Just throw yourself into the fire. Like, I myself just signed up with an indie school here called Superkicked. I don't know if you're familiar. But it's the same kind of thing. The only thing stopping anyone from wrestling is just wrestling, essentially. And money. And we need to wind it back a second, because you said you worked at a haunted house. Were you like a haunter, or were you just like doing something kind of more behind the scenes?
No, I was a haunter. I was like right up in there in a costume and makeup and scaring little kids. It was at the Eastern State Penitentiary in Philly. So
holy shit.
It was a lot of fun. It's an old prison that's a museum now, and every Halloween they do like, it's technically a fundraiser for the museum. It's a massive haunted house.
I might check that out.
It's a good time. I think they made it a little bit more of a night tour with some spooky stuff. Like, they kind of got rid of the haunted house element because I think it was like a PR thing with it being a little bit insensitive, to just the history of the prison.
Fair enough.
They've tried to like, I guess, alter it a little bit, but the heart of it's still there. The same people are still involved. So,
and not many people can say that they're both a professional wrestler and a former haunter. So that's also cool for your resume.
Yeah, I don't know if you know this. She's up and coming. Her name's Shay McCoy. She was a former Chikara student, and she was my coworker there. She's another one.
Wow. Small world. Very small world. Also, just clocked that you're wearing an NSYNC shirt. That's absolutely incredible. That's taking me back to my youth. So your first indie show was at Monster Factory, citation from Indie Wrestling Corner. And since then, we've seen tons of matches at different promotions. Like, what have been standouts for you? Because you have a lot of matches.
I know. I wish I had kept count through my career, but sometimes you just get these one-off things and you forget to write it down. And yeah, I don't know how many matches I have under my belt. But
I can help you, because Cage Match as of today said 88 matches on your record, but I don't know if that includes everything that you've done. But according to Cage Match, as of today, you have 86 matches under you. And a crazy bruise. Wow, I wish I could show my leg right now.
Sorry.
No, it's wrestling. It's not ballet. It's all good.
You got with a chair. It sounds like they're missing maybe like a couple.
Yeah.
Probably from just like smaller shows that I did. Or things. Well, whatever. That sounds 88. Damn. Okay. So that's nuts. What was I going to say? Oh, standout matches. The Young Lions Cup at Chikara was a big deal. Mm. I've done two Super 8s. Each one of those matches was a big deal, especially when I did it with Scarlett Bordeaux. That was a lot of fun. A match with Thunder Rosa recently, very exciting. I think some more standout matches. I had a match with Melina at VPW, yeah. Victory Pro Wrestling in Long Island. That was a huge deal for me because I love Melina, and she's also extremely nice and beautiful. There was a show I did at WrestlePro in Rahway, New Jersey at the Rec Center, which is where Jersey All-Pro used to run, and they have a lot of really cool history. And that was against Vicious Vicky and Nikos Rikos when they were a tag team, and me and my boyfriend. And I love looking back on that match. It was a good time. That's just a fun match. It was a great crowd. So something that I like to remember.
There's this local girl, I forget her name, but she met her now husband through doing death matches together. So yeah, there's a lot going on in wrestling that a lot of people don't realize. And you were just talking about Thunder Rosa, so I guess this is a good segue, and I think you know what's coming. But we got to talk about this photo, okay? We got to talk about this moment in time.
That's not me.
What was going through your head at this moment? Like, obviously, you guys call spots. Was this exact spot called? Like, and what was the fallout from it on social media? Like, obviously, this helped, like, followers and stuff, no?
Yeah, like, it's insane. My face isn't even in it, which is, like, the most wild thing. Don't ever underestimate the power of someone's butt. I did, and I know that I was proven very wrong. So that spot was called. In my head, I just remember we had practiced it in the locker room because the ring wasn't available. So I had to practice posting for her. And she was like, just be a little bit lighter. So that's what was going through my head, was be light, be light, be light. Because, you know, I'm a little bottom heavy, obviously. And so that was what was going through my head. That's it. Like, there was nothing particularly, like, I knew that, like, the match went well up until that point, and that it was short but sweet, and I just was hoping that Dustin Rhodes in the back was happy with it, because he was our coach, and he was. So that's it. I thought that this is it. This is my match. It's going to show. I'll get some followers. I can promote it, and then it'll be done. And then it'll be done, and then I can go back and do extra work again. Then weeks later, after the match had happened, the picture started circulating. The photographer's name is Scott Lee. He's a good friend of mine. He's been taking pictures of me since I started. And we both were just like, what the hell is going on now? And luckily people were really nice about it. There was only one person that was like, oh, you think you deserve followers and money because your picture got famous. And he's the only one that was like, yes, I do. Like, what do you mean? But everyone else was really cool about it. It got slightly dehumanizing at some point. Being a meme can be a little dehumanizing because there's a lot of like really kind of creepy things that were said about me and Thunders. But her and I just tried to take it all in stride. I've known her a long time, so it wasn't like, and we were talking about it on DMs. It was funny.
Well, there has to be some kind of comfortability to, you know, be able to do that, poke fun at it. And I mean, you know, it's your booty in the photo, but Thunder looks pretty crazy in that photo too. So I mean, it's a two point story and narrative going on here. It's not just a booty story. And I guess while I'm showing the photo and we're talking about great matchups, everything you've done, I really wanted to, I don't even know if where I can really see, but I want to talk about this photo.
Oh, wow. I know what that photo is. Me, Shanna, Hazuki, and Izumi. Yep.
So I'm a huge Joshi stan. Okay. Like I just watched Grand Princess 22 and I was floored. And I think a lot of people, especially in North America, like they just don't get it because of the language barrier or whatever it is. But I just kind of want to hear your perspective of getting to travel to Japan, getting to be in stardom. I know that in another interview, you said the girls were kind of like, oh shit, like this Gaijin's here, like get out of here at first. But then they kind of warmed up to you and it ended up being a really incredible experience. Yeah. So I guess what I want to know is what do you miss about Japan? Like what are some of the craziest experiences you had there, like kind of being a touring Joshi? And yeah, just
I kind of like, as amazing as the opportunity was, I wish I was a little bit older. Mm-hmm. And I wish I had known a little bit more about the business when I went in there. I was still like brand new. I think I maybe had 10 matches in the United States when I went. And I know that they knew me coming in that I was very inexperienced. And those girls take their job so serious. Like they don't want, we all do, but they don't want like to waste one of their matches on like someone that doesn't know what they're doing. And I think they were nervous about that because there have been girls that have gone over there from America that have trained for years and years and like they couldn't keep up. So they were like, this girl doesn't know anything. Like no way she's keeping up with us. But it did because I have good training. So the first day I kind of, the first match I had, I'm forgetting her name. I forget her name because she kicked me in the head so hard. Konami kicked me in the head really hard, left like a huge bruise on my face. She did that on purpose because we practiced it so that I could protect myself. But she fucking just went for it. And I like kind of like lost it for a little bit. Like I was blacked out for a bit. And then I came to just a couple seconds later and I went to the back and I was like, hey, don't do that again. And she looked all confused. I was like, we're not playing that game. And then she understood what I meant. After that, we were cool. Everyone was cool with me. I think it was a point of just me sticking up for myself and then also just showing that I was there to work hard. I was at training all the time. The only time I had like a bad match was actually me and Shanna's singles match. I forgot one of her spots and I was made fun of by like, not in a mean way, they all understood botches happen, but I tried really hard to just make everything I did clean and good so that they could respect me, and they did, and I left and everyone gave me a big group hug. It was really nice. I miss it. I would go back in a heartbeat. I really would. I do miss it. It's probably a very different company now than it was when I was there. And a lot of my like good friends aren't either, not wrestling anymore. And, you know, Hannah's passed away and she was probably one of the closest girls I was to there. So it'd be a little bittersweet going back. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I don't have too many crazy stories because I'm not like a party or anything. Like I don't really do that, but I did spend a lot of time just going on the trains and exploring what the city had to offer.
That's pretty crazy.
Going shopping and just kind of being like, if I get lost, I'll find my way back, you know? And I always did. So yeah, it was a good time.
To me, getting to train in Japan and be in stardom is a pretty crazy story. You don't need to party till 5 in the morning and hang off of a balcony or anything.
My roommates did. Tony Storm and Dewdrop.
Okay. Citation. Dewdrop, I'm sure can drink quite well.
I mean, Tony Storm's finisher was strong zero. That's an alcoholic beverage.
Sorry, repeat that.
Tony's finisher out there, and I think it still might be, but I think they changed the name of it, but her finisher was actually kind of like Thunder Rosa's finisher. It was called Strong Zero, and that's like an alcoholic beverage out there. It's a zero calorie carbonated alcoholic beverage. It's quite delicious. So I understand why she would call it that.
Well, hopefully they give us a sponsor for another future interview, maybe one day. Other than, I mean, just missing the country itself, like, what do you miss about Japan? The food, shopping?
Food and shopping. But, yeah. Oh, my God, yes. They had so many cool stores. I never had a bad meal there. Like, even, like, vending machine meals or 7-Eleven meals, it was all just so good. And I didn't eat healthy out there by any means. I think 7-Eleven had these really good, like, popcorn chicken, like, kebab things. Like, they were on
Skewers. Fire.
And these little tiny cups of ice cream. And I would eat that every day on the way to training. And then I think I would get it again when I was coming home. But I was in the best shape of my life. I think the food there is just made different and probably a lot healthier than it is here. Because if I ate like that every day here, I'd be 100 pounds heavier.
Well, I think, yeah, when you're training over there, you're also working a lot harder. Yeah. Plus, you're kind of in a different place. So you kind of naturally, I don't know. I always find that too. Like, I eat tons when I travel and I seem to like not put on weight, but when I'm here, it's a whole different story.
Totally different.
And currently I'm learning the ropes. And one thing that I've learned very quickly, and by ropes, I mean wrestling, obviously, is that it takes a lot of balls to just get in there. And I know it's a very basic question, but what is some advice that maybe you've gotten that's really helped you earlier in your career? And what's some advice that you'd want to give like younger women or just younger wrestlers that are just starting out, how to navigate and just how to deal with it mentally and physically?
This isn't like the healthiest way to go about a lot of things, but it works out for me. When there's the really scary things that you have to learn how to do, bumping, getting to the top rope, things like that, I found that dissociating from the entire situation is all really helpful. Because it's just kind of like letting your body take over and like brain off, body will take care of me. And that's kind of like how I've done a lot of stuff that like I normally wouldn't do because I'm a huge scaredy cat. I didn't even go through the haunted house I worked at. I didn't even go through it. Like, my off nights are like, you're coming to come through the haunted, right? I was like, no. Like, I was scared. I'm a huge scaredy cat. So, like, I don't know what compelled me to even get into wrestling. I think just trusting your body is, like, a huge thing. Listening to your body is a huge thing. If something doesn't feel right, stop. I remember, like, there was a day we were learning how to do arm drags, and I basically have bird bones. Especially back then, because I was tiny and no meat on my bones. I was like 100 pounds soaking wet. And I was getting arm dragged by a shoot MMA guy. You can deduce who that was. It was Matt Riddle. And, he was arm dragging me. He's so strong. He didn't even realize like the extent of his strength.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, wow, that looks really good. And then Danny Cage was like, yeah, it looks good because he's shoot. I'm dragging her over. And he was like, does it hurt? And I was too scared to say yes. And I was like, no, it's fine. So he kept doing it. And to this day, like, my shoulder blade doesn't.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Stay in place correctly.
Doesn't sit right.
Yeah. So always listen to your body. You don't want to end up like 27 and having like a fucked up shoulder blade. Sorry if I can't curse.
I have that problem too. I'm still learning that rope as well to not be a pirate on air, but it's all good. And even myself, like before I got into wrestling, I was doing boxing and I just overtrained and I screwed up my shoulder. So that is like really, really, really good advice. And another thing you're kind of known for, other than being an amazing wrestler, in my opinion anyway, is your appearance and your gear and your, I know you probably do your own hair and makeup for most of the matches, but walk us through kind of what it's like to design your own gear, because yours always stands out and it just looks so damn good.
Thanks. Oh, that's really sweet. I honestly, like, I am never satisfied with doing the same look over and over and over again. Especially when I first started, I had a similar kind of like look forever. I had red hair and like the same style gear all the time. And then, because Sandra Gray, she's with AEW now, she used to make my gear and I kind of just let her do her thing. And it always looked so amazing, but my kind of input wasn't a part of it because I was just so grateful that she was working with me. So when she got signed to AEW and wasn't able to make my gear anymore, I started just designing my own stuff. My boyfriend, LSG, he is an amazing artist and he designs his own gear. So he kind of just gave me a crash course and he was like, this is how I do it. He drew like a silhouette of my body for me and we kind of talked through it. And since that crash course of gear design, I've always done it myself. I'll just like print out a picture of like a body, like a silhouette, draw out the gear I want, send over kind of samples, like screenshots of the fabric that I want to the gear designer, send over my measurements, and then we get to it.
So super simple. Super simple process.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, gear designers are, God bless them, because I know they get a lot. It's probably not easy to deal with wrestlers, especially trying to, like, make a vision come to life, you know.
But you kind of raise a good point. It's like, you know, if you take that into your own hands, you can kind of really get every single detail you want, and you can kind of do it on your own accord too, right? Because some designers probably take months and months. I know another wrestler I was speaking with the other week, she said that she got hers made by someone who worked at WWE. So I'm sure that person's schedule is crazy.
Yeah.
And I know we talked about standout matches, but before we like kind of wrap things up here, which matches are you most proud of in your entire career and why?
It's actually happened very recently. It was about 2 weeks ago at Pro Wrestling R. It was a show in South Jersey, Westville. And it was a small show. I mean, there maybe it was 20, 30 people in the crowd. It was against Damaris Dawkins. She's one of Cheeseburger's students out in Bristol. I handpicked her as my opponent because I trust her very much and I think she's very good, very underrated. And we had our match. It was a super technical match. There was nothing fancy. We didn't do anything off the top. A lot of grappling. And when we got to the back, everyone was giving us a standing ovation. All of our peers were. And it's a black run promotion, and every single person on the card was of color, which was a really incredible thing to be a part of. We were the first women's match that promotion ever had, and they gave us a standing ovation when we got back. The promoter was like, that was match of the night. Everyone was really excited and really proud of us. I have never experienced that going into a show because I've never considered myself extremely athletic. I'm never going to say I'm the best wrestler in the world. I don't think that. So it was really validating for people who I really like look up to tell me this and to give me props like that. Me and her, like, we still talk about it. Like, oh my God, I can't believe we like got match of the night on that card with all those incredible guys. It was a really special time.
And kudos aside, I mean, the emotion involved in that, like seeing that, is something that no one can really take from you, right? It's like only you and anyone who's in the ring really knows what it's like. So that's really awesome. And I think that we could probably talk for days and days about, you know, what you and Toni Storm and Doudrop got up to in Japan after hours and all kinds of things. But I guess I kind of want to pass the mic to you for a little bit. Like, where can people follow you? How can we support you? What are you going to be doing in the next little bit? What are your socials? Like, all that good stuff.
So I am at Gabbity on Twitter and Instagram. That's G-A-B-B-I-T-Y. I have some stuff coming up if I look on my phone. So April 9th, which is this Saturday, I am at the Monster Factory. And then I have a baby shower the next weekend. That's irrelevant. April 30th, I have a double shot at ECWA and Dropkick Depression, which is Tara Calloway's promotion. It's a nonprofit charity show. It should be very exciting. ECWA is leading up to the next Women's Super 8 that's happening in the summer. And yeah, everything that you need to know about me is on Twitter. If you really want to know who I am, you go on Twitter. Instagram is like, you gotta follow me. You'll see pretty pictures, but like,
Instagram's dying. Everyone's moving to TikTok and Twitter. Like, let's leave Instagram alone. And I guess before we go, if you want, I'm going to give you the mic to cut a promo, promote, say whatever you want, do whatever you want. Go. You got 30 seconds to a minute.
Okay. I'm really excited that you are training. I want you to be safe, and I want you to truly take this and be something great. I know you will. You have an amazing personality. And I'm excited to see where you go in your journey. And I want to catch up in a couple months. We'll talk about
That's
it.
That's so sweet. That's awesome. And now all the business stuff. Don't forget to subscribe to Fightful Select and Fightful Overbooked, where you can see me. You can also catch me on my own website, Strange Comforts, where you can see all kinds of weird stuff. But all the good wrestling content is on Fightful, Fightful Select, and Fightful Overbooked. Fightful Overbooked. Oh my goodness. And that's pretty much it. Thank you so much, Gabby, for this. This was, I think, probably my best interview to date. And au revoir. Goodbye, everyone. Let me...
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.